to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. Strictly Anonymous podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast with Kathy. If you have not followed me yet on Instagram or Twitter, make sure to follow me. If you're listening on any podcast app, follow me at Strict Anonymous. Duh. I'm at Strict Anonymous both on Instagram or Twitter. If you're listening on a podcast app, make sure to subscribe to my show. If you're listening on Spotify, you could give me like a 5 stars if you like my show there. If you're on iTunes, you can write a review. I love reading good reviews. if you want to be on the show, this is a call-in show where people remain anonymous. It's called Strictly Anonymous because I change everybody's voices. Everyone has a fake name. We don't out anybody here. If you want to be on the show, tell me your interesting, secret, naughty life story or just your regular life story. And maybe you want advice. I don't know. I like giving advice too. I give unprofessional advice. If you want to be on the show, send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. Go to Instagram or Twitter and DM me there. I'm at Strict Anonymous. Or you could call my confessions hotline. That's 347-420-3579. 347-420-3579. You could just leave me your confession there about your life that you want to talk about. If I'm interested, I will text you a link to schedule your time to call in. I do offer calls on the DL. These I don't air. You do pay for those. I do offer that. That's like you talk to me, but I don't air the episode. So if you want to be really on the DL, you could sign up for that. Email me, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the information. Now, all of that stuff that I just gave you is in the description. So if you're looking for my email or the confessions number, it's all over there. Now, speaking of my confessions line, did I give you the number 347-420-3579? That's 347-420-3579. I think I maybe didn't give it. The woman I have on today, Kiko, she did call my confessions hotline. And she was like, hi, I'm, you know, an African-American woman who is going to admit to the fact that I am a swinger and I love it. Okay. She has been swinging with her husband for about 10 years. She's in an interracial marriage. They're swingers. At first, she wasn't into it. Her husband brought it up, but then she was down. She talks about like what changed and why she decided to do it and how much fun she's been having doing it and how it has, you know, helped her in certain ways. It's how freeing it's been for her, how it's made her feel more attractive. Her and her husband both admitted like their secret fantasies to each other, and they're both bisexual and into, you know, he's into guys, she's into women. She talks about their rules that they had going in, the rules that they still have now, how they meet other couples, what they're into, what they do when they do hook up. And how much it has only added to their relationship. I mean, they have very good communication. This has only helped their relationship. They also recently, I forgot, just got into going to nudist resorts. And she talks about how that was very freeing too and really great. And she ends with like a bunch of hot stories, like her hottest stories that she had. You know, one was like an orgy of 8 people, and then 2 guys left. I don't know. But she does get specific about certain things that she's into, that she's not into. But basically, it's mostly talking about how, you know, great it's been for her self-esteem and for her as a woman, as well as for her relationship with her husband. Not that anything was bad before. It's not that, oh, you know, it's added and her relationship is so much better. It's just that they're just so solid as a couple and it really works for them. But they were solid going in, and she does talk about that and about how communication is important and how they were very intimate with each other beforehand. So anyway, I'm just going to be right back on with Kika.
This is the Strictly Anonymous podcast.
Hi, Kiko. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
I'm good, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to you. You had called into my confessionals hotline, which I love. And, you know, you gave me a brief intro to who you are and what you like to do. And you had said, oh, I mean, why don't you tell people what you said on my confessions hotline so everyone knows?
Sure. So I have like a current introduction, which is, you know, cis het African-American female, middle-aged, living in the Midwest, and I enjoy swinging, which is not really anything you confess to, anybody but other swingers.
Right, yeah. Well, you're going to have to tell me your journey. Like, how did you become a middle-aged African-American swinger? You know, did this just recently happen? Have you been swinging all your life?
Oh, no. I've been swinging about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and the request was that my husband. I'm married, and that we've been married about, let's see, well, we've been together about 6-7 years or so,
mm-hmm.
and he suggested it. I said no at first, and then I started to think about it more, and then I said yes, so we tried, and the most interesting thing is that I was raised really religious with all the tropes about women that we've all heard that we still hear every day. Nothing new.
Yeah.
I was never abused at all, ever touched, which I think is maybe a rare thing for women to say.
Uh-huh.
But like nothing, no issues with that. All the repression was internal and internalized repression. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I met my husband, I was in my mid-30s. I'd had sex a handful of times, but not very much. So it's been a really fantastic way to have sexual experiences that I was too shy to have or wasn't in a position to have when I was younger, mm-hmm. and that I can have more safely. So we started about 2014-ish, mm-hmm. I want to say. And with the soft swap, which is you have sex in a room with another couple, but with your own partner.
Yeah.
And I was comfortable with that. And then I wasn't comfortable with men that I didn't know at first. So then I was with girls, which was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I didn't want to be with girls. It's just that it was the easier foray into swinging girls, soft swapping. And then it just sort of slowly went up from there.
Okay, but talk me through how you went from the wife that was like, no way, I'm not into this, to, okay, let's try it.
Let's see. So it's been, let's see, let me start way back at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I admitted to myself after the first time he said, let's try it, I said no. Mostly I was afraid of situations that were out of control or people that I didn't know, or just the unknown and then being discovered.
Yeah.
That's always in there. So those fears aside, what I started to explore was the sexual experiences that I had not had when I was younger,
right,
that other people had. And part of it was, it's like a racial thing. I'm around a lot of white people. The world has changed. You know how the world changes almost overnight?
Yeah.
You have to go to the bank, and then now you never have to go to the bank because everything's electronic.
Yeah,
it's almost just like that,
mm-hmm.
when it's come to like the attractiveness of black women, mm-hmm. where it was like, no, nobody wants to talk to you. Now everybody loves you and wants to touch your butt. So,
yeah.
So when I was younger, I mean, was I attractive? Sure. Did anybody care because I was around mostly white people? No. And
right.
So that's a huge change,
mm-hmm.
which also opens up a lot of room for sex.
Yeah.
And so when he and I decided we're actually going to do it, I wanted to do the soft swap only because I didn't want to have sex with someone that wasn't my husband.
Yeah.
And then to a woman where I knew I would be safe. And then we did a full swap. Oh, also backing up, like one of the other fears was that maybe I would fall in love with somebody, or more likely my husband would fall in love with someone else, which
really
a big concern.
I think that's most like people's fear. Yeah.
Yes. It's really true.
You don't think
about sex as just sex. I mean, you get to that point as you get older, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you think about swinging, like there's access. she'll have my phone number and his phone number, and whoever I'm with will have my phone number. And, you know, there's all this easy to do communication through apps and through social media.
Yeah,
that I may or may not see. And so I was really afraid that like some sort of side affair would arise. So that was another thing.
And did you talk through that with your husband, these fears?
I did.
Did you make rules and regulations that you set in place that so that those kinds of things wouldn't happen?
We do. So it's evolved over time. You understand, like, it, where we started 10 years ago and where we are today are kind of different for various reasons.
Of course.
We started with whoever it is communicates with both of us, or they're sanctioned to communicate with only one of us. So if we meet a couple and it's usually the man that does the talking, then he will text my husband as opposed to texting me. But if he texts me, I always tell my husband.
Right. Full transparency.
And I show him the text.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's kind of how fully transparent. If he's talking to someone on the internet, because he does all the, I mean, we go to clubs and things, but we try to meet people online sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He does all the setup. He asks before he sends my picture.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Over the years, pictures change. And sometimes, oh my gosh, like a couple of times we'd be like out walking the dog and someone would be like, send us your picture right now. And it's like, okay, I don't have rollers in my hair, but it is Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and I'm walking my dog. You know, I don't have on any makeup. You know, okay. But that full transparency of, I know who he's talking to, he knows who I'm talking to, and we can see what's going on back and forth is what works, and being honest with one another. And the other thing is, people are far less available for affairs than you would think from watching movies.
Well, that's interesting. That's a good, that's an interesting thing I haven't heard before.
I know, it's funny, but it's the truth. I mean, people have lives and kids and things and places to be, and you meet somebody who's swinging and you live, you know, in the city and they live, you know, 100 miles away in the country and they came in just for the party. So it's not like, you know, there's...
They live next door and you could work it into your schedule without your partner knowing. I'm amazed when I talk to the real cheaters that come on my show and they're living this whole double life. Like, where does your partner think you are all the time? Like, I had one girl on recently who was cheating on her husband, I think it was, and she was out at swingers clubs with her new guy, like, every night. I'm like, where does he think you are Saturday night every night? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know,
and so, how do you come back showered and no one can tell that you've got like some brand new, you know, soap that no one's ever said, come back. Somebody's like, checked out.
I think it's exhausting, actually. But and so you're here to say that it's also hard. And you guys, so, you know, you guys had these rules in place. Did you have any of those like kissing rules, like no kissing, or like there were any sexual things that were off limit?
So this is funny because it turns out that we have, so we, so we've done, so he's bisexual and I'm bisexual.
Uh-huh.
And it's rare to find like a man that wants to do MMF, but
yes,
it's happened to us a few times. And same with, but it's much easier to find a woman that wants to do FFM. So much easier. So what happens is sometimes we come across other people with rules. We're pretty open at this point.
Yeah.
In terms of like, so far we both always swing together. So we're in the same room. If there's an orgy, we're both in the same room. If not, and we're full swapping, we're in the same room. Sometimes we're on different beds depending on where the, you know, the sex is taking place or what the club is like.
Yeah.
But so our, we, it's fun that, oh my God, I've kissed some guys that just like are the most amazing kissers. So it's, I'm so glad we don't have the like no kissing rule. The other thing is, I just wanted to lay this as a base. My husband and I have a very, very intimate relationship with one another.
Yeah.
So I don't need to cheat because I talk to my husband and have sex with my husband. I'm not missing something that these guys are giving me. There's this, a couple that we used to be with all the time. They're not in the lifestyle anymore, but those two were fun to hang out with and sit and talk and kiss and that whole thing. And then go back home to my husband with it being sanctioned.
Right. Right. Of course.
It doesn't mean I need to chase it because it's like ice cream. Like you had it and it was wonderful. And then you move on.
Right, because you and your husband are not doing this because you were lacking something in your relationship. It just added to it. I mean, your intimacy is still there, intact, even after 10 years of swinging, which I think some people find hard to believe. Because I get a lot of comments a lot of times on stuff like that. Good news, Strictly Anonymous podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, I talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
But it's because we already had an established base of intimacy.
Right.
So back to the rules. Mm-hmm. So we are pretty open. Like, our rules are we always sleep together. Mm-hmm. We're in the same room. We try to be on the same bed, but that's not always possible. But he's always like, I can see him. I can hear the woman. This is another fun side part of swinging is I can hear the woman having an orgasm, making the same sounds that I make when he fucks me. That just is
you
hilarious.
Like that.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. I was like, I know she's having a good time because I've made that sound.
Right.
So, so our rules are we're always together. We swing as a couple. We vet each other's partners. And the thing is, well, when you swing as a couple, there's like she'll be into my husband, but he won't be into me, and vice versa. So that always makes it
harder. Like, yeah, I've heard that.
It does.
Yeah.
We have had these hilarious things where we meet couples that are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met this couple, really good looking couple in Vegas, and so hot. We're ready to go. He's like, you know, great looking guy, blonde hair, blue eyes, probably 45 or so, hard dick. And his wife, she's cute too,
mm-hmm.
is like, oh, I only suck balls. Oh my gosh.
Interesting.
We were, of all the things that have happened, we never expected that to be one of the, what? Okay, so anyhow, oh my gosh. And, you know, she goes down on women. She only sucks balls. She doesn't suck dick. Oh my gosh. So that was a hilarious, okay, that's their rules.
Yeah,
met,
interesting.
A couple where my husband likes to go down on women, where she only lets her husband go down on her. And we're finding these rules out as we're taking off our clothes and we've already committed. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's a surprise.
Yeah.
So I feel like our rules are great for our relationship. It keeps us, like, we both know we're on the same page. I know who he was with. I saw who he was with. I know who he's talking to. I can see who he's talking to.
Mm-hmm.
He knows who I'm talking to. He knows who I'm with.
Yeah.
He knows what I'm doing because we're together.
So that's your rules. But the other couples, you understand that they have different ones. I mean, everybody has their own
exactly.
set of rules. What I have heard,
exactly.
and I think you mentioned this earlier, too, is that a lot of couples, they start out with a lot more rules and then fast forward so many years later, a lot of that goes out of the window. A lot of those rules are set up in the beginning just because you mm-hmm. don't really know what to expect. And you think maybe you are going to be concerned or worried about that. But after you do it longer and longer, I feel like a lot of the rules are what I hear from couples is a lot of them go out the window because they don't need them. A lot of people have that kissing rule in the beginning and that gets thrown out.
You know, and it's like kissing is not as intimate as you think it is.
I know. I agree.
It is a very intimate experience.
Yeah, but it's also hot. Like, I mean, I just think that some people equate kissing to romance. Mm-hmm. I think it can be separate. I think it's super hot and sexy and can just be a part of sex and is a big part of it and can make it extra hot. So, but I understand why some people don't feel that way and do say like, okay, you know what? You can't. But it is a common rule. But a lot of those people that make that, that's the one of the ones that go out the window because it's like a free-for-all after a while, right? I don't know.
It's true. And we've discussed a lot of, I mean, obviously since we've been doing it for so long, we've discussed other rules and like openness. So one of the things about swinging is women are in high demand, which I was pretty surprised because I don't know. In the rest of the world, it seems like you have to be this woman to be in demand. And if you don't look exactly like Heidi Klum, then too bad. You know what I mean? Right. Or Heidi Klum's age group or Gigi Hadid, too bad. And so I was surprised that, you know, I'm a little chunky. I mean, I work out. I run. I just ran this morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not thin.
Yeah.
And I wish I was thinner, but I try to be fit. And my husband is the same. We try to be fit, which means that we're fit for sex. Like we can stay up for 3-4 hours having sex because we have that much energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to have that. So there's a woman's fitness for sex. This is not a surprise at all. But when you swing, you start to see it. It maintains. Like I can be this weight, this desirable and still want to have sex into my 60s and be wet and or use lube. And but men, on the other hand, theirs is decreasing because if you can't maintain an erection at some point, why are you here? I mean, a lot of guys are really good at head if they can't have an erection, and then some of them don't have an erection and they won't give you a head.
Right.
Why are you here?
Right.
And so women's value maintains and even goes up, and men's goes up in relation to how attractive they are and whether or not they can maintain erection and ejaculate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, like, guys are like descending on the women, and the women are suspicious of whether or not a guy can get hard.
That's so funny. It's so like anyway, a different world, a different universe.
It is a different world.
With different rules and things. But it would be, I guess it's nice for a woman because you are in such high demand.
Right. And so when we started and you asked this question way back at the beginning is how did I get into it? Is my husband was like, do you have fantasies that are unfulfilled?
Mm-hmm.
And did he have fantasies that he wanted fulfilled? And the answer to that was yes.
Yeah.
And so the kind of fun, open thing about swinging is I can have my fantasies. They can be out in the open to my husband. He can have his, and it doesn't, I don't have to keep strange secrets, and it doesn't disrupt the relationship.
Right.
But as we go on, he tells me, do I want a girlfriend? No. I do enjoy playing with girls. It's fun. It's fun to have done it. It's fun to do it. It's fun to have a three-way with your husband with another girl and be touched. But I've never been, like, romantically in love with girls.
Yeah.
Just boys. Just men. I prefer men over women, like, 10 to 1. Does that not mean I don't have a great time with girls? I do. Mm-hmm. So he's like, if you wanted a side girlfriend, you know, you could have one, which is great, because what if I did?
Have you? Wait, do you allow each other to have side girlfriends or boyfriends or anything like that?
We have recently said that that's something that we can do. But again, you know how you're laughing about how are you getting away with cheating this much?
Yeah.
Like, we spend a lot of time with each other, and we have a child together and raising our child and, you know, paying our mortgage and living our life. It's like, when would I have time? Again, also, my relationship with my husband is fulfilling. So I don't have the energy to put into a non-fulfilling relationship.
Right.
Can I have sex with some hot guy? Should some hot guy appear in my life that was like, I had to screw and that sanctioned? Yes. Would I tell my husband before I did it? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we've discussed it. It's like the hall pass.
Yeah. But wait, what were some of those fantasies that you guys early on discussed that you wanted fulfilled? Because you did say you both are bisexual. So was that the first time you guys admitted to being into the same sex or wanting to have those experiences?
It was absolutely the first time he admitted to me that he wanted to be with another man.
Mm-hmm.
Was I surprised? Let's say I was surprised because I'd never suspected it of him. But then myself, I'd always been kind of open to bi men. So I'd never met or dated any. I just don't have, I'm just not anti-homosexual or, or homophobic. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
So the fact that you want to kiss another man doesn't bother me. And we've been screwing each other for nearly 10 years and you clearly are into me. Do you know what I mean? I'm not threatened by the fact that you want to, you know, suck another man's dick or kiss another man. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, and he's lucky because I think a lot of women would be threatened. I think that that's the biggest fear or the hurdle that people have to go through, that women think like, oh my God, you don't, then you're, if you're into guys, you're not into me, but you didn't have that.
And part of that is because we had this little thing when I first started dating. Do you remember Dr. Jen? She used to be on TV.
Yeah.
She completely validated. So we used to watch Dr. Jen all the time. And she said that women like watching other women get off in porn. And I did. And I still do.
Yeah.
But I don't want to necessarily date a woman.
Yeah.
And so I knew within myself that I don't mind kissing. It's very fun to kiss girls. It's very, we're soft, we're sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never had to tell a woman, don't twist my tits that hard, like ever.
Right. They just know.
You're left. You know what I mean? Like, this I mean, it's not 100% across the board perfect, but there's like a way that women know to be. And also, some of the best head I've ever had has been from women. Oh, my goodness.
Like, and vice versa. Same shit for guys, right?
Exactly. So, you know, so I knew that I didn't want to leave my husband for a woman or be with involved with a woman romantically because I had the fantasy of kissing a girl.
Right. And you also knew that you still liked your husband's dick and you still like dudes, but you also like girls. So you could project onto him that he could do the same. You know, I think we're always, we're always projecting. So it worked in your favor that you had the same kind of feelings that you could understand his.
Exactly. And I want to say that that was the lure that brought us both into it.
Oh, interesting.
That and the fact that I'd had so few sexual experiences before I met him. And he'd had quite a few.
Yeah.
And I had had, you know, so.
How was that first experience? But how was that first experience when you finally did have sex with another guy? I mean, that was that. Was it amazing? Did you feel weird about it?
So it was really fun. I'm trying to remember because like.
So
because
long
we did
ago.
So much soft swapping.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it was a guy. It was pretty fun. His name was Bill. White guy. Really thick glasses. Cute. Fit. Enormous dick.
Yeah.
Enormous, beautiful, hard, delicious dick. And it was like, wow. Look what I would have denied myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we swung with them twice and they disappeared out of the planet. Just like.
Huh. Oh my God, that like, beautiful dick was gone.
Gone forever.
That's hard. And it's not easy to find, I don't think.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And so that was like, oh, wow. And then they were gone. But you get used to that, kind of like having that amazing experience. One of the things that was hard for me to let go of when we first started swinging is I understood that a certain amount of that people with a certain level of attractiveness would have lots of options sexually.
Yeah, for sure.
And that they would take those options. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You're only getting older.
Yeah.
And so to have that same option for myself was like, wow, this is, it's fabulous. It's very freeing, especially as you get older.
Yeah.
It's very freeing to know that if some insane, amazing, hall pass type sexual experience came my way, I would not destroy my marriage by taking it.
Right. But how about the whole racial thing? Because you did bring it up. I mean, as a person of color, do you find like in that community that there are a lot of other people of color there, or were you the minority, and how were you treated any different? Did you find people more attracted to you because they were into the whole interracial thing, or how was your experience? Yeah.
I would say it's, well, I know a couple of single black women that are in it and they have a great time. And most of it is because they are single.
Yeah.
And pretty much any single woman of any size is going to get a lot of hits just because there's a lot of men out there.
But that, yeah, they call it a unicorn for a reason because it's not
right,
common.
Right, exactly.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It is. And it's actually men that are the biggest unicorns. Women are kind of, you know, available unicorns. Men are non-existent unicorns.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I know it's crazy, but it's true. It's way easier. It was way easier and still way easier for us to find another woman to do FFM than to find another man to do MMF or
oh, yeah, for
another
sure.
man, period.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
A single man.
A single man, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or a married man that's available. Mm-hmm. So either way, hard to find. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the racial thing, it's, let's put it this way. It's, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Facts. It matters. And we are in an age group, like we're not boomers. And so we have discovered like boomers really still kind of have old fashioned racial ideas. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I think that's
what age is boomers?
Where do they start? Like 1959.
Oh, okay. Okay. So like 60s.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And that, so 10 years ago, they would have been in their 50s.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have found that we didn't really have a lot of success with boomers, way more success with like Gen X and younger.
Totally.
And so we're
yes.
Gen X.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just mm-hmm. because the, just like I said, like the barriers have dropped.
Yeah.
And there are a few places where it's, you know, where race is just unavoidable and it's an issue. And it kind of dampens my ardor a little bit, makes it hard to just approach people.
Mm-hmm.
For they approach me, you know, what can I do? You know, you've got a MAGA hat on. What should I do? You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
So there's that, this push pull. There's also like the split in a couple that's fine with it. And then the one that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it matters. Is it a constant negative downer? No. And also, as you swing,
yeah,
you meet the people that are comfortable with you and that you're comfortable with,
yeah,
and you kind of form subgroups from time to time that mm-hmm. you know, it's
where you're not just at the swingers clubs, you have parties and stuff, right? I mean,
exactly.
It just starts to go outside of different things, and you go on the apps and you're looking for people, so
exactly.
Yeah.
And so if people see our profile pic and they're not into it, well, then they don't contact us.
Right.
And when we contact them, then they don't talk to us. So it's like a natural selection. And then definitely by this point, we go to more private parties than we do the club.
Yeah. And somebody was just talking about how like those private parties, he was saying he always felt like they were more fun because at a club, you might have a lot of people that you're not into. You don't know who's going to be there. But at a party, everybody knows who's coming. It's sort of set up to be all the people that are into each other. So typically, like he was saying, and it kind of makes sense that at those parties, like the best kind of sex is going down because you all know each other already. You know you're into each other. That's why you've all been invited. Is that same to your experience?
I would say that's mostly true. And also it's new people come in, but they trickle in. So instead of 25 new people, there's two new people,
right.
You know, every
right,
other
right.
party, there's a new couple or a new single. And so you have a chance to sort of mix them in, fold them into the group. And usually if they're there, you know that they're in what they're into and that they're good to go. So that's definitely, and respectful, you know what I mean? There's that
yeah.
whole thing too.
What are you into? What kind of things are you into? Like, do you like two guys? I know you like women.
I like two guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a really hard thing to do, but it happened last weekend, so I was pretty happy with that.
Oh, really?
Almost always, one of the guys is my husband.
Uh-huh,
so
of course.
That's great. You know, he's a performer. He's a tall guy. People are into it. So, yeah. So I like two guys. It's my favorite. FFM is fun when it's my husband and I in a three-way because usually it's funny because like we go out to dinner with her and treat her like a princess and people are at the dinner table like, wow, that guy's with two chicks. What's up with that? He gets the, you know, the strokes of being a man with two women.
Yeah.
And then, mm-hmm. then we get a hotel and we get to play our own music. We have some wine. We warm up. And then we get to play, and that's a lot of fun because my husband is usually good to go 2-3 times a night. So he can do her, he can do me, and then we kiss and do each other. So that's right. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
And then have you had experiences? Have you been able to find guys a lot? I know that you say that's harder, but what goes down at those
MMF
ones?
We've had two, three guys. And that was fun too.
Oh, wow. Three. So your husband and, I'm sorry. So your husband and two other guys.
One other guy.
Oh, one other guy. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Two other guys is like a fantasy.
Oh, you've had three, two other guys. Right, right. Okay. You've had it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Exactly. But you know, the other thing too is it's, you have to meet people and have a glass of wine, warm up. Men and women alike need to warm up to you, get to know you. This is kind of part of the, you know, the whole thing is people are obviously there for sex, but people have to warm up and get into it and get ready and get in the mood. And so that's kind of a long lead up to the actual sex.
Right.
And talking and getting to know one another.
And typically your husband is doing a lot of that work on the apps and stuff when you're not at the swingers club.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here's my picture. Here's my wife. Are you into it? Exactly. But lately, I mean, COVID sort of took the middle out of it for a while.
Yeah.
Right? Because you couldn't have parties. People were afraid to go out. There wasn't a vaccination. So that was a big slowdown. And now that there's a shift, we're not entirely sure where it is, but things are shifting. I mean, we've been going to private parties, so we're still going to parties. But we think people are meeting less on at parties and clubs, just like going out, trying to meet people cold, mm-hmm. and shifting more to maybe apps. So this is kind of a new thing that we're seeing. But we've got sort of at this point a crowd of people that we hang out with, and they let us know where the party is and invite us to the party. So
like you're in the group now, because I know that you did say that you had a big fear in the beginning. One of it was like, what if people find out and stuff? I mean, are you swinging close to your neighborhood, and have you ever bumped into anyone that you knew?
We have not run into anybody. The very first time we went to a club, we were scared to death. First time we went to a club, we met someone that taught at high school that is in our neighborhood.
Oh my
God. Oh my God, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Never saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen anybody else again. Never run into anybody that we know. Not even close, which is kind of surprising. Yeah.
And now when you on the apps that you're on, I'm assuming you don't put your face pic. So that's something that you reveal later and you get to know the person in the vetting process.
Exactly.
So you've always been able to be safe. What is your guy like? Do you know, does he really enjoy seeing you with men? And do you really enjoy seeing your husband with women as well as men?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. I know it's hard. It's kind of hard to believe. But the thing about it is, it's like, I have a great husband. He's a wonderful lover. And this is another thing. Okay. Do you really want to appreciate your husband as a lover?
Yeah.
Or improve your husband as a lover? Be with a few ham-fisted men. Not to say that they're all the guys are bad. But what it is to say is that my husband has gone out of his way to become a very good lover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of things that I, as his wife, have maybe taken for granted, like the way he touches me, the way he holds me, and the way he kisses me, and he's really good at it. And so then when I'm with somebody else, and they're not maybe a good kisser, I'm like, oh my God, my husband, he kisses so good.
So oh, right. It makes you appreciate him more, because when it's not so
but
great with the other people.
Yeah. Exactly. But I get to enjoy somebody else enjoying all the best parts of my husband.
Right. Like you said, when you heard that woman making those same sounds and you know
exactly. She's
being turned on, that turns you on.
Exactly. I know that he is really good at giving head. Mm-hmm. And that's fabulous that I know some other woman is enjoying that. So, and he says that he enjoys watching other men, you know, fuck me. So,
right.
You know, I think he does.
He likes to watch too, because you're always in the same room.
We're always in the same room. Exactly. So it was fun to see him be with another guy. It's fun. And there's like a lot of things that are just fun that it's fun to be naked between two men kneeling on the bed that are hugging me in the middle and kissing me. That's
right.
Amazing.
Like being the center of attention.
Being the center of attention. It feeds. There's all these like receptors in your skin and it feeds them all. You know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. like, every female part of me is engaged with every male part of two men.
Right.
And then when they're engaged with one another, then that also engages all of the attractiveness that I have to that. But it stirs up all the female energy that I have as well. Their male energy, double male energy, you know, gets my female energy going really high. So
yeah, that's a lot of male energy coming your way, but makes you maybe feel more feminine, you know, because it's just so much male, you know?
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel very sexy, you feel very wanted and very open and free. And that's what I get from swinging. And that is what, why I don't need to cheat. Does that make sense? Like, why I don't need to go find somebody else? Because I get all of that, all those feelings, all that high energy from sex.
Yeah.
And then you're back safe in your own base relationship.
Right. And now, would you have ever believed, like, before your husband brought it up and said it, the girl who was, you know, didn't have that many sexual experience, that you at some point would be a swinger?
Never.
Right.
So two things I discovered with my husband. The first thing is that I'm multi-orgasmic. I did not know until I met him.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
How did that happen? How did you go from being a one and done to being multi? Teach me, because I can never be multi.
Because we started talking about it, and I realized that I was, but I didn't know that I was.
What do you mean?
Because women don't talk about sex that much, and you don't see that many definitions. And, like, I can, like, start having an orgasm and just keep having one and having them over and over and over until, boom, I have a really hard one and that's it. Now we're done. But all those peaks before you actually peak is multi-orgasmic. So that's fabulous. So that was good to know. And then I never would have called that I would guilt-free enjoy swinging. I had some idea that I liked sex, but there's always lots of guilt associated with wanting it. A lot of it I could talk myself out of, and had talked myself out of, but then all of that commitment, sex with one person, marriage part was hard to let go.
That was that was the initial saying no.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what was
very, very, very ingrained.
Yeah. And now, do any of your friends or anyone know? I mean, do you tell anybody or do you keep it very DL?
Absolutely can't. Just no way. Like throwing a hand grenade into every relationship in my entire life.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because it's so judged. It's like the story you were telling me about editing something that people think is one thing when it's another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
yes,
really,
if they don't
really
hear the
difficult.
Whole, right, you can't just throw it there. You need like an hour or 2 hours to explain. It's like my show. I always feel like, oh, most people don't know that I do my show. I'm anonymous too. And if I ever do tell somebody, I'm like, I can't tell you the name of my show without you listening to the whole explanation. And you can't just look at my show. You have to promise me that you're actually going to listen to an episode, because on the surface, and if you just heard one sentence, you'd think something, one thing. But if you really listened and really knew how I started my show, you know, you would see a whole different picture. But most of the time, we don't have that time to spend a fucking hour with someone explaining. So they're just going to judge you. Mm-hmm.
And
I get it.
If they drop it to someone else, like the whole domino chain is already set up to fall negatively.
Yeah, I have this great guy that I mentioned him before, the one who was talking, who wants to come, I'm editing his episode. Maybe I'm going to air it before yours so then people have that backstory first. But he did talk, he was someone that was a swinger for a long time, and he talked about all the things you shouldn't do and how many couples he's seen fall by the wayside and it didn't work out. And one of the things he said that he did wrong that caused them a lot of problems was tell people. Because he was kind of like bragging, you know, because he wanted to let guys know, like, the shit that you fantasize about, like, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? I'm doing it. I'm fucking my girls, fucking other guys in front of me. I got two girls, you know, this is like a everyday experience. And he went and bragged, and it caused a lot of issues, you know, a lot of problems. So he would say, you're effing right to not tell anybody, the both of you. Keep it to yourself.
I would love to first off, this is while we were already swinging, but I was at, like, I was at my son's school, and I didn't, this is completely a vanilla story. Mm-hmm. I was at my son's school and I was trying to do things to get to know other moms. And so we're like doing crafts, you know, because you have to, as a woman, you have to do crafts. So anyway, I let some joke drop about like having sex with my husband. And it was like pin drop. Like everybody here is married.
And it wasn't even, right. You weren't even talking about swinging. You were talking about like normal sex.
With my husband. We're all married here.
Yeah. We all have sex.
What? You can't fuck your own husband. And so when I kind of got the, whoa, I can't even enjoy it with my husband, to whom I have been married for years.
Yeah.
You better not say that you swing to casually or in a deep conversation with anyone, because there's no context that's a good one.
Yeah.
And when my husband first approached me about it, he told me that he had heard the story on NPR. It was a husband whose wife had just died. Mm-hmm. And of course she's gone, so now I can tell people that they used to swing, and how it had brought them closer in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way. And yeah, now that I do it,
you understand.
And how could you explain? You can't.
You can't. Because everyone, like I said before, we're always projecting what we would feel in a situation. So, you know, whenever I get tons of comments over on YouTube, especially about people swinging or having open relationships, they're always like, you can't be happy, or you can't know, you know. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, maybe that's true for you. You just can't understand it. But like these, you know, this is what your experience, this is your truth, you know. And I think it's always important to hear all kinds of stories, because all different things are true. Yeah, there are people that do it and it causes a wedge between them and it drives them apart. But that's not everybody.
Yeah.
Nothing's 100%. You know, some people are successful at it, and you're here to say that you guys have been. And I think those stories are important as much as the stories of the people who it didn't work out for. And everyone
right.
will have their own story. You know, you don't really know unless you try it. Like you said, you didn't think you would be into it either.
No. And all the, and I had all these concerns that have just turned out to not be concerns at all.
Like what were those?
And, well, like about the cheating, mm-hmm. about, you know, somebody, I'm not saying that, you know, a few women haven't like been into my husband quite a bit, but again, he shows me everything that they text him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they may or may not know that I see everything. And then there's, you know, so I'm in an interracial marriage. So sometimes there's the, what?
Oh, your husband's white.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that makes a whole nother, you know, level of intensity. But at the same time, we communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of relationships, which is not to judge anyone's relationship, but which is to say, where people don't talk about those things openly.
Yeah, and that's going
to
create problems.
To, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and that creates problems in any relationship, even if a couple's not swinging. I mean, communication is the key to everything. And, you know, that's always something that's lacking, even, like I said, in the vanilla relationships that I hear with the guys that are cheating. You know, they're not talking about the fact that they didn't fuck for 10 years. And so now they're cheating. It's like, right. Well, why aren't you like trying to tend to that first by actually talking to each other? And so I think that that's just key in any relationship, the basis of anything. So you always had that good with your husband?
We've done this. And also we have pretty much talked openly about sex with each other from the beginning as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's a little repressed. A lot of this is at his insistence, which is, well, I had sex toys when I met him, but he doesn't feel like less of a man because I have a vibrator. And
yeah.
like, that's a problem. Then that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so then swinging is going to be a huge problem too. Right.
Yeah.
So,
but you guys
getting
you know.
Off with someone else. Yeah. I mean, it's not to say that there's never a thing that arises, but it is to say that we talk it through. And the landscape of swinging changes and your feelings about swinging change, meaning our rules are still the same. We're still like saying that we're in the same room and things like that, because that's how we feel comfortable. Do we every now and then address that as a issue? Yes. We go over it. How do we feel? Check in. Are we still going to swing this way? Yes, we're swinging this way. You know, we're going to this party. This is how it's going to be. We've also recently been at a few nudist resorts, which is a whole new freedom that I never would have called along with the one with swinging.
Mm-hmm. And you enjoy that.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I did not anticipate that I would, even after I've been swinging this long.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That it's very freeing to be naked.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Around other people that, you know, feel the same. And so that's again, it's off the chart and it's off the norm. And it's something that, again, you can't discuss with anybody because there's so much negative energy surrounding it.
Yeah, totally. Does your husband know you're coming on the show? Obviously. I mean, do you both?
He's the one that told me to call.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. What's his deal with guys now? Like, does he do everything with guys? Like, do you want, you know, is he a bottom, a top? I mean, how hardcore does he get into it? Do you mind?
Mostly it's just, you know, kissing.
Yeah.
And sucking each other's dicks.
Uh-huh. Oral.
That's pretty much it. We haven't had it. Just oral, right? We haven't had any, like, pegging experiences or things of that nature. But he has indicated that he's interested in that, so...
So that's on
we
the
haven't
menu,
done it,
maybe.
But it's out there to, it's out there to try. And like I said, it's really hard to find like that third guy.
I know. I've heard that bi guys, okay, are very hard, and still there's a stigma attached even in that world. You would think in that world,
we can't say it. We took it off our profile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't say that you're a bi couple. I can be bi as a woman.
Yes.
I'm fine with that. I rarely meet a woman that isn't bi for play. Occasionally we meet where you know who they are, you know.
Yeah.
You ask very respectfully before you touch them at all.
Yeah.
But it's really, really difficult. There's a huge stigma with men touching another man, which means in a crazy switch, every now and then some guy will actually be bi and we'll be having sex. My husband's like, there's a hand on my ass, but it wasn't yours. But I know. Cause I know what yours feels like. And it wasn't, you know what I mean? It's like, why don't you just say that you're bi?
Because they know that you can't, but that's what the problem. There's probably so many bi guys there, but no one's like wants to be the first one to be like, hey, I'm fucking bi.
Right. And then if you say that you are, then you're like a pariah and we just like sit out the rounds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. I've heard that from many people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's really been like a side issue for my husband when it comes to that. So, you know, and we haven't been to any clubs that are like just a gay club to pick up somebody. We still use apps and meeting people in person. So yeah, that's, I mean, it's worth it when you meet somebody, but boy, is it a lot of work to meet a bi man.
Yeah. So, but you have had some MMF situations.
We have.
Right. And have you ever done DP or anything like that when you've gotten down?
I have not. I just have a really hard time taking it in the ass.
Not into anal. Yeah.
Now, you know, just do I think it'd be fun? Yes. Mm-hmm. Can I do it? I haven't been able to.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the most amount of guys you had in one night? Do you like having multiple guys or do you like to just play with one?
I got to say another thing. It's like, okay, so this is a little fun true story. So our very first orgy is 8 people. It's 4 women. It's 4 men. I'm like, oh my God, so great. I'm going to fuck 4 guys tonight.
Yeah.
Like we get to the bed and 2 of the men bail. So it's like my husband and one other guy. I'm like, what? Really? Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, hilarious. So, was this a setup orgy or was it like an orgy going down at the swingers club?
Oh, it's one that a woman was there and she's like, I'm trying to set up an orgy. Do you want to be a part of it? And I was like, yeah. So my husband and I were like, yeah, we should want to be a part of this. Yeah. And so she did. I mean, it's sort of impromptu. And then both the 2 of the guys stood out. So, I mean, I probably like 3 guys in one night is like the most. And that's a lot. And it mostly becomes like this is a whole nother like a little strange thing. It's like the men are older at this point. Men are getting older. They're in their like, you know, late 30s, late 40s, early 50s. And so there are just fewer men, even with Viagra, that are out there and ready to do it. Now, there are places I've not been. I have friends that have been where it's nothing but men. Just.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There's like a couple places around that we've heard of. And I've known some women that really enjoy being gangbanged.
I
haven't been gangbanged. Yeah. And so I know it's out there as a thing. I had this like this little personal thing with me is, look, I'm a pretty easy lay. I got pretty wide range of men that I find acceptable. I like someone to say hi to me.
Right.
Looking in the eye. I really am not. Like that's my line right now.
Yeah, you're not down for you're not down for like
any stranger sex. Dick. You know, yeah. I can't. Right. Yeah. I really like to have know the name of the person that mm-hmm. I'm sleeping with.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've said a few nice things to one another, which keeps me out of the sort of gangbang situation.
Yeah.
But there
yeah.
are definitely, I've got a couple friends that are like, love to be gangbanged. And they go to there's a couple places where it's just lots of men.
Mm-hmm.
And if a woman shows up, you're obviously looking for a gangbang.
Right. Because it's all guys there. Yeah, I've had those exactly. girls on my show. It always blows my mind. But there's, you know, that's like a thing and that's set up. So any, like, you want to just talk, like, wrap it up with, like, maybe, like, a famous hot, like, your hottest experience or something interesting or your funniest or your worst? I don't know. But
oh, sure. Like, one of our hottest experiences
yeah.
was, let's see, well, there's a couple. One of the hottest experiences was in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a club there. The name is escaping me right now. That's made... It's like all the fantasy locations where people want to have sex. Someone has really put a lot of thought into this club.
Oh, you mean the rooms are set up as places?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Like what kind of stuff?
You wanted to sleep in the library. You wanted to have sex in the library. You wanted to have sex in like
a
the
church.
Alice in Wonderland room. A church.
Yeah, I get it.
And so that, it was gorgeous. We met this hot couple. African-American. He was so good looking. And then he just couldn't get up because my husband was like fucking the shit out of his wife. And she was so cute. So anyway, that's super hot. Then another hot experience we had, we met this couple and they were almost too high to fuck. And she's the one, she put her hands under my ass and lifted my ass and she went down on me. And oh my God, still one of the most explosive orgasms I think I've ever had. Just
really?
Whoa. Who does that? Well, I didn't know that was a technique.
Right, from the high girl,
yeah. And then we were with another couple. He was really good, but she was beside me. This is another thing that you gain from being beside somebody, uh-huh. giving my husband like the loudest, sloppiest blowjob I've ever heard. So I stole her technique.
Oh, interesting, because you found it hot, like what
it
she was doing.
It's hot. Mm-hmm. It sounds great. Mm-hmm. And then you can do this with other people. So that's super hot. That was a really hot experience. And we used to be with this couple. They're not in the lifestyle anymore, but he was great guy, sweet, fantastic lover, and just I had some of the like just most super fun female moments with him, like dancing with him, or just like he would like rock me back and forth and sing in my ear. And then he and my husband had a couple super hot moments together when I was out of the room, which was fun to overhear because mm-hmm. it was like you know, peeking in and like catching the prince, like sleeping with the knight. So that was pretty freaking awesome. But mostly overall,
yeah,
it's that you feel sexually free. So we have this thing, my husband and I have this thing about like, even when you kind of have a go out swinging and you don't meet anybody, you have a bad time, at least we're not home watching Grey's Anatomy. And there's like a yeah. huge freedom as you get older, because, you know, we're in our early 50s right now. But the thing is as you get older, we have something to look forward to that a lot of people don't. We have looking forward to going someplace over the summer and being naked every day, all day,
yeah.
you know, and the places are beautiful. They're like
the resorts, the nudist resorts. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there's animals, there's flowers, there's naked people who sometimes want to fuck each other, and you can just step out by your fire and have a cup of coffee, you know? So,
yeah,
but it's fun to look forward to a retirement that doesn't revolve around planting a garden and like watching TV.
Right. I mean, you're living your best life and you just started. I mean, you're like 10 years in and it just really keeps
yeah.
you alive because you have all these like great things to experience moving forward and you're very open.
Exactly. And you get to age into your body without mm-hmm. feeling. So instead of constantly being, my boobs are falling, I still get to be vital and sexual. And so does my husband, even as we move into our later years. And
that's important.
Very freeing. Yeah.
And important. And you have to keep that connection going. If you unplug that and you don't plug it in ever, it goes away and it's very hard to find it back. And that happens to a lot of women. It's the difference between, you know,
yeah.
women that are in menopause that still get horny and that don't. It's like if you don't use it, you lose it. And it's a lot of
yeah.
women lose it, not just because of menopause, but because everything that's going on when you're older. You know, you're very busy. You have a lot going on. You don't just have kids.
Yep.
You have parents or, you know, need to be taken
yep.
care of. I mean, there's a lot of things. So the fact that you guys still have all of that going on in your life and you've carved time out for that is only going to keep you super connected and super horny and still having great sex.
It's really true. Mm-hmm. And also, like, there's, I mean, as you get older, maybe you get less judgy, maybe you get more judgy, but if you're naked, you're obviously going to be less judgy. Is you enjoy the energy and sexuality of other people, yeah. even younger people. And I'm talking about people in their 30s or late 20s or whatever. You see and enjoy their sexual energy in a way that you wouldn't if you didn't swing.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Thank you so much. What do we call you? Kiko? I always forget Kiko, the person's name by the end because it's like we just say the beginning. Then I got your whole fucking life story. I'm like, wait, what? What was her name? Thank you so much, Kiko, for calling in. Now, sometimes people send me anonymous pics if you want to. I'm sure if you listen to my show, you know, a lot of the women send anonymous pics, but I always say like not X-rated. They have to just be like R-rated. They can be sexy. If you want to send it into me, I put it up on my Patreon, but if you don't, it's totally cool. It's up to you.
Okay. I'll look for your email and see if I can, I'll see what I'll do. I no promises.
Okay. Well, by the time I air this, I'll know whether you sent it in or not. So I'll put it on in the intro, whether you did, but that's totally cool. Okay. It's up to you. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story.
You bet. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Kiko. Bye.
You bet. Bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you are on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. I love YouTube as a platform for my show because people comment there and I try to reply back to every single person who posts a comment. So even if you're not listening on YouTube and you want to talk about the show, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, like, and share my videos at Strictly Anonymous Podcast. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous pics of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.